Well, I want to share with you today a passage about the return of Jesus. I don't know if you've read the paper lately or if you have watched the news, but what I read last week, there is so much happening today in the world that would point to the soon return of Jesus. And it is so important for us to be ready. Do you remember the story about that he told about the 10 virgins and how some of them brought extra oil for their lamp and some forgot it? They were not ready. And so it's so important for us to be ready, especially in this day. We are living in a time where there's natural disasters around us all the time. There's war and rumors of more war. And folks, in a lot of ways, we could be living in the birth pains. We could be living in a time in which God Himself is preparing to take His church to be with Him. And He is going to make Himself known with power and with authority to all the world. You can say what you want to say, but on this time, the Bible speaks of this, and people will all know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's a old fable that's told about three apprentice devils who were coming to this earth to finish their apprenticeship. They were talking to Satan, the chief of the devils, about his plans to tempt and to ruin mankind. The first said, "I will tell them that there is no God." Satan said, "That will not delude many, for they know that there is a God." The second said, "I will tell mankind that there is no hell." Satan answered, "You will deceive no one because they know that there is a hell." I mean, a hell for sin. The third said, "I will tell them that there is no hurry." "Go," said Satan, "and you will ruin men by the thousands. The most dangerous of all delusions is that there's plenty of time before the end." And how that is true today. People speak of the reality that, where's the Lord? Why hasn't He come back? You know, they were saying that in Peter's day. And Peter wrote, "God is not slow about His promise, but He is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Today, I want to proclaim the reality of the inevitable certainty that Jesus Christ is going to come again. He is going to be the one that we don't want to be caught unprepared for His return. In Matthew chapter 24, let me read some verses that are there, 36 through 44. It says, "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets, parties, weddings, right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch. For you do not know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. I want to talk to you about this passage of Scripture for a few minutes. The first thing I want us to look at is there is a unpredictable timing for the return of Christ. Notice what he says there in verse 36. No one knows the day or the hour. Now, that word knows there is a perfect tense. No one knows perfectly the exact moment in which something is going to happen. We have lived and heard the stories of Jesus is going to come back on this day. Jesus is going to do this. Jesus is going to do that. And we've lived through the reality of that not happening. I remember first church I was pastoring, there was a little pamphlet that Jesus was going to come back on September the 12th. And everybody was caught up in that moment of thinking about Jesus coming back, his return. And then when September 12th came and it didn't happen, many people thought, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And that is the challenge we face when we try to say Jesus is going to return on this day at this time. Nobody can nail it down that clear. But what does he tell us? He tells us to be ready, to be prepared, to know that he is going to return. This is an unpredictable, but it is one that is certain. He says that God the Father is the only one who knows. If you know anything about the Jewish tradition on a wedding, the groom would go to the father's house and he would prepare a bridal chamber that he would bring his bride to. Do you know who would tell him when it was ready? Only the Father. Does that remind you of something? Only the Father is going to say, hey, this is it. Go get your bride. That's when Jesus is going to return again. Verse 37 there, it says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. A day of what? Uncertainty. People will be going around doing their normal activities, the busyness of life, and God will return. His Son Jesus will return. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the day in which He returns? If it were to be later today or tomorrow morning, would you be ready in your life? That's really what Jesus is saying in using the example of Noah. There were so many that were not ready. Only Noah was prepared along with his family. So there is an unpredictable timing about the return of Jesus. The second reality is there's an unnecessary separation at the return of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus, like the first coming, will be a day when those who have believed will be separated from those who have not believed. Notice what he says here in this passage. Two men are going to be working together in the field, but one is going to be taken and one is left. Speaking of that separation. He said, two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken. The other will be left. Jesus so many times has spoken of this reality that he is going to return. And we need to be prepared. How do we prepare for that? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then it goes on to say that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. A separation of those who have believed and those who have failed to believe. You know, a lot of times we feel like God's certainly going to understand if I say, well, Lord, I did not know. Is God really going to take that as your answer and say, oh, I understand, you didn't know? Or has he given us this word from the ages to tell us that he is going to return, and we should look with expectation for that to happen? John chapter 3, verse 36. Same chapter, but verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but what? The wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Speaking of Lazarus. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And Martha, do you believe this? So put your name there. Do you believe that there is a day that is coming when Jesus is going to separate those who have put their faith and trust in him and those who have not? The Bible clearly speaks of that reality. In John chapter 5, Jesus says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to life. Those who have done evil will rise to condemnation. John 5:28-29. It's a sobering reality that one day there will be no more chance. There will be no more opportunity. As much as we would like to think that there will, God makes it clear in His Word, there's not going to be another opportunity. Once Jesus returns, that is going to be the unnecessary separation. Why is it unnecessary? It's unnecessary because God has given us everything right here in His Word, a very simple way. I am the truth. Jesus said this. I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the way. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way that you can experience eternal life. And He speaks it very clearly. It's not hidden. It's not disguised. Then there is an unavoidable certainty of the second coming. Jesus taught that reality in Matthew 24, verse 37. He says, you must be on the alert. You must be ready for what is going to happen. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus says this, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Luke chapter 17, verse 24, for just like the lightning when it flashes out of one part of the sky shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in His day. Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Jesus talked about His return. He was going to come back, and He was going to take us as His followers to a place that He has prepared for us. Angels predicted this reality. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. You remember when Jesus was taken after speaking to His disciples, when He was taken up into the sky and they were watching that event, that moment as Jesus Himself ascended. And the angels came and said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into this sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. That reality is something we have to live with. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare those that we love and care about. We have to prepare our children for that moment. Why? Because it's going to happen. How many fulfilled prophecies have there been about Jesus coming? More than 300 messianic prophecies in the Scripture like this were made in the Old Testament, and then they were fulfilled when Jesus came and lived His life and died His death and rose again. The chances of one person, theologian has written this, the chances of one person fulfilling a mere 8 of these prophecies, only 8, is 1 in 100 to the 17th power. 1 with 17 zeros after that. Now, you would really have to be messed up in the head to play the lottery with those kind of odds. Jesus himself has fulfilled far more than 8 of those prophecies. For one person to fulfill 48 of those prophecies, the number becomes staggering. It's 1 chance in 157 zeros. That's a lot of zeros. Add to that that there are 250 other prophecies, and it becomes impossible for any person except Jesus to ever fulfill all of those prophecies. Now, are you going to bet against those odds? Are you going to go against what God has? You know, people say faith is something, you know, it's a blind faith. We don't have a blind faith. We have a certainty that Jesus is going to do what he has said based upon what he has already done. It is true what it says. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Hindsight is 20/20. You think of the over 2,700 people that died as a result of the World Trade Center bombings. Do you think they woke up and said, hey, today I'm going to die? We don't know that moment. We don't know how that is going to happen. But let me tell you this. If I don't know, I want to be certain of who does know. And that's God the Father. He already knows in advance when that day is coming. The last thing I want us to look at here in this passage is there is an unmistakable warning about the second coming of Jesus. Look at verse 44. Says, you also must be ready all the time. And the translation there of must be ready is an imperative in the scriptures. It's a form of a command that Jesus spoke. You must be prepared for that day so that you are not going to be caught off guard. So it says there in verse 44, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. He is going to return when we don't know, but we are confident of the one who does know and who has given us so many revelations in the Word of God about the return of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 says this, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you is believed. Jesus Himself spoke this reality time and time again to give warning that He was going to return, to give us a warning today that He is going to return. We must be ready. In his book, Richard Betts illustrates this concept. In his book, he talks about surprise attacks. And he gives lessons for defense planning. He says, long before Germany's blitzkrieg swept the West, European leaders had received many signals of the immense battle that was coming. Stalin, too, had abundant warnings of German designs on Russia, but believed that by avoiding provocation, defensive measures could be taken to avert the attack that finally came in June 1941. In December 1941, the German attack on Russia had over 5 million casualties. Over 3 million people were taken as prisoners of war, all because the leader of Russia, Stalin, ignored the clear warning signs of immediate attack by the Germans. I don't want to talk about all the people who are going to be separated from Jesus. I want to talk to you. And the thing I want to say to you is, if you have been hesitant, if you are not sure about the return of Jesus, if you are questioning your belief in God, I want to talk to you today. I want to tell you how important it is that you make that certain. Just like if I were to tell you that you need to get your house in order because you're about to die. We always need to be prepared because we don't know when that day is going to come. But we do know who does. And God the Father knows that. And this is why He has given us these warnings, because He loves us, because He cares about us, because He wants you to join Him, not just for time, but He wants you to join Him for eternity. God Himself has given us a clear message in just, if this was the only passage we had, wouldn't it be enough? But man, we have places throughout the Scripture over and over again that speak of this reality and that coming day and the uncertainty of when that is going to happen, but the certainty that it is going to happen. So you and I have the opportunity, and the question now for us is, are we ready? Are we ready for His return? Does that bring you excitement? Does that bring you joy thinking about it? Or are you at a place where, man, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be wrong for eternity. I invite you, my friend, if you are at a place where you are doubting and wondering, give God the opportunity to prove this reality to you. He will. He's spoken it so clearly in His Word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that You are a God who is not trying to hide Your will from us, and You are not a God who plays secrets. You are the God who has revealed to us, and You have preserved it throughout history so that we could hear this word today, not from my lips, but Lord, from Yours. You spoke it. You gave us this message because You love us and because You care about us and because You want us to spend eternity with You. You want us as Your creation to enjoy the blessings that You have given us in Your Son Jesus. Lord, I pray. I pray for that one person. I pray for the many who might be here. I honestly don't know. I have speculations that the majority of us know You. But Lord, if there is one, Your word teaches us that You would leave all to go after the one. I pray that they would sense and experience today You coming after them. They have lost their way. They have gone a direction that the world may say. And You want to bring them into Your fold. You want them to experience one day the joy of living in heaven. You want for them to experience the blessing that You are going to bring about when You bring about the new heaven and the new earth. Lord, help us right now to focus our attention. This is a moment in which we pause and we reflect upon what You have said so that we are ready. Lord, thank You that You have given us a warning to be ready. You challenge us. You command us to be alert and be prepared. Lord, may that happen today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you know that there's never been a time where you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, today be the day. Will you prepare for your eternity by the choices that you make in this life? I plead with you too, because I believe with all of my heart what the Word of God has said. So I invite you, if you are here today, grab someone close to you or come to me here and say, I want to be certain. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared for that day. I believe that God Himself will hear your prayer. just like he heard the prayer of the thief on the cross. And he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He honored that man's simple faith. And he will honor ours. Let's stand together. We'll sing our last song together.